Good morning, and welcome to the conference call of EDP Energias do Brasil to discuss the earnings of the first quarter, 2020. Right now, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later on, we are going to open the Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Should any of you want to reach the operator during the conference call, just press star zero. This presentation, together with the slides, will be simultaneously webcast on the company's website, www.edp.com.br/ri, and there you'll also be able to obtain the company's earnings release. Before moving on, EDP Energias do Brasil would like to let you know that any statements made during this conference call relative to the company's business outlooks, as well as projections, operating and financial goals relative to its potential growth, are based on assumptions based on the company's expectations with regard to the future of EDP Energias do Brasil. Forward-looking statements depend on the country's economic scenario, performance and regulation of the electric sector, in addition to other variables, and therefore are subject to changes. Now we are going to turn the call over to Mr. Miguel Setas, CEO and IR Officer of EDP Energias do Brasil, that will start the call. Please, Mr. Setas, you may go on. Hello, everyone. I would like to welcome you all to our conference call for the first Q20. To tell you that I am with this conference virtual call together with the CFO of the company, and we are going to be available at the end of this call to answer your questions. I would like to start by saying that this is a very particular moment for the company in a period that we are all and all companies are facing a pandemic that had relevant impact in company operations. Obviously, the focus of this conference call will be the results of our quarter, but we cannot fail to place particular emphasis on our contingency plan with the company to overcome the risks resulting from the COVID-19 pandemics. On this first slide, on page two, I would like to show you six areas that are part of our contingency plan that correspond to six subcommittees of our company. One focuses on people and health, a second on operations, a third on finance, a fourth subcommittee connected to legal and regulatory issues, a fifth connected to business partners, and a sixth connected to communication and society. So let's take a look at each one of them. I would like to say that we took quite rigorous steps, quite fast, since the beginning of the pandemic in Brazil. And very soon, people in administrative area went into home office. So part of our contingency plan, all those people that are in support areas are working from home. We have now more than 95% of admin teams operating in home office. Of course, we still keep an important set of services. A significant part of our operational teams are performing their roles as usual. Field services, particularly in distribution. Also, I would like to say that we are very pleased to inform you that we have had a medical monitoring of all the cases that have come up. We have had very few cases so far. We can count them with the fingers of one hand, confirmed cases at EDP, and none of these cases with severe symptoms. So for now, and let's work for this to be kept until the end of the pandemic, we have had a very low level of incident among our workforce. Then, in operations, I would like to highlight all the assets that we operate: our hydroelectric plants, distribution, thermoelectric plants, PCEM. All of them today have, right now in execution, a business continuity plan. And this business continuity plan has, again, very rigorous assets, particularly with those assets that are in regions with a higher incidence of the pandemics. We have isolation confinement measures to ensure the health of employees, but also the continuity of the operation without any intercurrences. That is also part of a model that we have today to ensure broad redundancy in the operational management of our networks in distribution, both in São Paulo and in Espírito Santo. We have a redundancy of three sites to ensure that if we have any risk in one of the sites that is identified, the operation can be maintained without any disturbance. So three sites in São Paulo, three sites in Espírito Santo to keep a very high level of redundancy. And obviously, still in distribution, we had a temporary suspension of non-critical activities. In finance, I would like to highlight the focus that the company has had to contain its expenses, reduction of dividends, and also cancellation of some projects of M&A, but above all, with a CapEx execution and a OpEx execution that has been reduced, going up to reductions of 1.3 billion reais. Our plan encompasses a reinforcement of our liquidity with this reduction of 1.3 billion reais. Of course, the reduction of CapEx is partially not voluntary because we are on hold with some works. But in addition to the imposed reduction because of the hold of works, we reduced investments that were not a priority, basically to protect our cash. In addition to a reduction of CapEx, OpEx, and the cancellation of dividends and the M&A projects, we also have an additional, and I would like you to go on to page three, an additional set of funding that has been executed, approximately 940 million reais already executed. We still have under negotiation 820 million reais. So altogether, 1.75 billion reais as an additional liquidity to protect the company's cash flows. Obviously, this, together with the amount I had mentioned before, gives us a reinforcement of liquidity of over 3 billion reais, which places us in a quite comfortable, protected, conservative position with regards to the company's cash. On page four, the next page, I would like to tell you a bit how we are working in terms of legal, regulatory, business partners, and communication and society. As for legal and regulatory, basically, the highlight are the measures that we are working with the granting power, with the Ministry of Economy, regulatory agencies, measures that are necessary today to solve the liquidity issues in the sector as a whole. A set of initiatives have already been completed, and others are being structured, namely the structuring of the COVID account to ensure that the sector has a protected liquidity position. One word about legal risks. We all know that there were some force majeure actions that were sent from distributors to generators. We believe that for now, this is quite a limited risk. Of course, we are monitoring that together with our legal advisors, but so far, this risk has been qualified as a remote risk. As for business partners, I'd like to tell you that first, there was obviously some interruption in the material supply chains, particularly the import of materials from China. That gives us a delay of approximately 30 days in the import of Chinese material, but that has been completely settled. So the focus today is to focus on some areas, particularly in transmission. So it's much more connected to service providers than material supply. And this is going to be our focus in the coming quarters. Finally, still about business partners, obviously, the companies, because of the disturbance of supply chains, today has contingency measures and additional measures to reinforce its supply chain and to have it more resilient. So this has also been one of our focus for us not to have any disruption in materials or services. Finally, in communication, I'd like to highlight that we have had a very fluent and frequent participation in webinars, calls with investors, also intense communication in the company's internal communication plan, and added to that a social action that has been quite coherent with our purpose and basically the lines of the company, helping a set of projects in 10 states of the country, projects that on the one hand want to reinforce the health system, but also want to address the challenges of society in a time where the most deprived of families are in more vulnerable conditions. And so we have been doing that with initiative and dimension, and we are allocating for this project approximately R$10 million from our social projects allowances. So basically, with that, we talked about our actions to mitigate risks resulting from the pandemic and ensure full resilience and safety for the people that work in the company, ensuring liquidity of our cash and operational performance that is protected by contingency and business continuity plans that have been adopted. So I would say that today, despite this external scenario that is quite challenging, the company finds itself in a robust, solid, resilient position in view of what we are facing externally. Well, now I'm going to invite you all to take a look at the key highlights of the quarter on slide number five, to basically make comments about the main points of the period. The first point is just an understanding that the diversification of our portfolio allowed us to have great stability of operational results. The company has some lows happening in the business, some because of the pandemic, some because of the energy scenario, but these impacts are almost complementary to one another, and we closed the quarter with continuity of our operational results, as you're going to see further on. Also, I would like to say that this quarter is a quarter in which the level of investments were maintained relatively stable. Distribution had 167 million reais of investments in line with the levels of last year, last year was a year of tariff review, and we kept the level of investments. That led us to show this quarter reduction of low voltage non-technical losses, both in São Paulo and Espírito Santo, as you're going to see further on. In terms of investment, the highlight is the result of the transmission companies, particularly the partial entry into operation of Lot 11. We have already one in operation, 19 months ahead of schedule relative to the regulatory period, in a part that represents more than 51% of the RAP of this lot. As we know, transmission work in EDP are very much advanced. We have already 63% of total CapEx executed, and obviously, in the middle of the pandemic, part of the work is on hold, in standby, and therefore, our priority will be to resume this work further on. A bit about commercialization and trading, I would like to say that despite the fact that we had reductions in hydric generation of about 80 million reais, that has more to do with the extraordinary results of the previous year than the performance per se of the first quarter of 2020. Here, precisely, you're going to see that we have a full coverage of our hydrological risk, although we had the reduction of general results in the area of hydric generation from one year to the other, and we are going to see that further on. In thermal generation, also good performance, an increase of our gross margin, as we are going to talk about later on, and we closed the quarter with a net debt EBITDA ratio of approximately 2x. Once again, the company with a very healthy balance sheet that before a situation like this brings us great comfort, because the company has prepared itself and today finds itself in a robust, resilient position to overcome the crisis. Well, now I'm going to turn the call to Henrique to give you a bit more color about each one of our business units.
Thank you, Miguel. We are going to go to slide number six, where we show our book EBITDA. This quarter, we reached 699 million reais of EBITDA, basically the same, the number of last year, with a difference of -1%. Here, we see clearly the importance of the diversification of our results. We see some fluctuations. The main fluctuations is hydro generation with a negative number. Again, this has more to do with the energy scenario of last year compared to this year. The hydrological risk this year was almost fully offset. In distribution, we had this evolution of this year. Remember that last year we had the tariff reviews, and we had a less favorable evolution of the market this year. In transmission, we see as we complete works, we can show our results, and therefore, as the work evolves, we have a development of this line now at 39 million. In thermal generation, we had good performance, partially because of unique factors in this quarter, but also because of better capital management and coal management, as we are going to talk later on. Going on to slide number seven, and now looking into the distribution business, we see that we had a book EBITDA about 1% below last year, and adjusted EBITDA by the new replacement value, the DNR, a non-cash effect. We had a reduction of approximately 7 million. Again, very much in line with what we expected. What is the explanation of this variation? Well, basically, we had the evolution of the market. It's important to show the evolution of the market in the first quarter 2020 compared to 2019 is completely different. In the residential segment, that is those individual clients, we had about 4% drop. Why is that? Because last year was very hot summer in 2019. This year wasn't as hot, and therefore we had some reduction in the residential area. Also we had a reduction of one large client, High Voltage, that had a reduction that makes the market to drop. Although the financial impact of this drop is not as much as if it were a residential client. Also to highlight is that we continue to decrease our non-technical losses in both distributors with -0.74 percentage points in São Paulo and almost 1 percentage point in Espírito Santo. Here, as a reminder, our target in terms of non-technical losses in Espírito Santo is 10.64%. In this quarter, we got now, in the end of March, 10.86%. We are very, very close to ANEEL's target. In terms of total losses, we are a bit farther, but still it's 1,256 in this period against 1,171 of our target. Despite the effect that we had, a reduction of a large client of low voltage, and the drop of the market, which impact on losses percentage-wise, because you had a client without losses with very low technical losses, and when you remove this client from the calculation basis, you have a percentage effect on that. We continue to see our investments. Our investments continue to be at an accelerated pace. Miguel already mentioned that we have a plan to have some investments in distribution for reinforcement of cash. We see in this quarter an amount that was very similar to last year. Again, last year, a period of tariff review where you have an accrual of better results. Now we are going to go to slide number eight, where we talk about transmission. In transmission, we have a book EBITDA with 34 million, 84 million, I'm sorry. CapEx evolution, we had 63% of CapEx executed, 2.5 million invested. Then we have the highlight per lot on the right side of the slide. You see lot 11 almost completed, and then lots 18 and 21 with 58% and 64% completion, respectively. Well, basically the highlight here is with the COVID issue, there was a standby of work, and we are going to be with a difference of 4 months because of the pandemics. We continue to have our execution little affected, but still we have this delay of 4 months in the execution of our CapEx. Going now to slide number nine, we talk about our integrated management of hydroelectric risk, hydroelectric generation and trading. We see here that in this quarter we had a reduction of EBITDA when we put together hydroelectric generation and trading, about 80 million. Pay attention, it's very important to see this number with a careful attention. When you see the evolution of margin to the right side, what do you see? That in 2019, we had contracting of energy in the first quarter of 226. the contracting hasn't changed much. You see, 226 to 207. It's not really different, slightly below this year. But the main account here is that last year we had secondary energy that was very strong. We had secondary energy in the average of the quarter of 50% and very high spot prices. And with that, we had an additional margin of 100 million. This year, we see that the hydrological risk month by month on average is 13, but we had important fluctuations of spot prices as well. But as a whole, hydrological risk, we had a gain of 100 last year, and this year, a loss of 13. What is important to say is that the gains that we had last year that were leveraged by the GSF of 149 was basically an account that was advanced and then returned along the year. As we can see, we had low GSFs and higher spot prices. So that was somehow an account that was paid in the rest of the year. So we had some eruption of the margin of this year compared to last year, but it's not much of a concern because when we see contracting vis-à-vis what we have, 206, we see that we are perfectly in line with our obligations. And therefore, we continue to have our strategy of higher location of energy in the second half of the year. The COVID scenario can change a bit of our expectations with regards to spot prices, but GSF not. We are going to have lower GSF, and therefore, the allocation of energy is going to be okay to cope with the risk, even in a scenario where spot prices can go up. On slide 10, we talk about PECEM, and we see here an evolution. PECEM has had a very positive evolution. I'm always saying that as cash generator, as a company that is generating profits this year, EBITDA of 165 million, net profit of almost 80 million reals, a very positive evolution of profit. And the margin, we have the Adump balance regularization. The Adump had been reversed in 2018 and 2019, and now we had a remaining balance that enabled us to have about 24 million of gains, and the remaining of EBITDA has to do with the management of coal purchases of this quarter and last year. Remember that last quarter we had a loss, a mismatch between the buying of coal and the dispatch of the plant because we had no dispatch in the last months of 2018. So these are the main variations. Then uptime of the plant continues to be very good, G1 with 95%, due to we had a plant maintenance, and therefore we had 58%, but again within what we expected. And the average continues above what the regulatory availability of 83%. Now, going to slide number 11, here we talk a bit about our cost control. We are having very low inflation rates, and then additional PMTO gains are not easy to reach. And what we see is that despite the situation of the business, we have had gains of margin above inflation. We are continuing to grow our cost base in line with inflation. So in consolidated number, we see OPEX and gross margin with a continuous descending line, showing gain of efficiency in the base of our businesses. A note here for PEC-LD. Well, you know that there are several delinquency issues today because of the economic crisis first, and then the impact of COVID that is to be expected. Here, we still do not have the impact of COVID in data of the first quarter. But 34 million for PEC LD may sound a bit high compared to the first quarter of 2019, that was 22 million. Remember, this is a variable that has a natural fluctuation. If you compare quarter-on-quarter, you see that the second and third quarters of last year had a number that was very similar to this first quarter. We are very much close to the average of revenues, sometimes slightly up, sometimes slightly down, but it's a natural fluctuation. In the second quarter of 2019, we had this PEC LD matrix that was separated from regulated and non-regulated market to be a bit more loyal to exactly what the numbers would be. That's why we went up to the 30 million there. 34 million in line with historical levels, and so far we are quite comfortable. Obviously, we have to be even more rigorous from now on, paying a lot more attention because of COVID issues. As I said, so far we haven't still felt them in this quarter. About net income, we see an evolution of our net income with a drop of approximately 8%. EBIT almost the same with a 3 million variation of EBIT. Net income a bit further down, which has to do with taxes. Here, the tax rate, the average tax rate of the company went up. What explains that is that we had a variation of -43 million compared to last year, basically because of two effects. First, in 2019, we had some tax benefits that were not recognized this quarter. We had no tax benefits. Also this year, we had a drop in the results of hydric generation. The relative weight of the results of distribution is higher than what we saw last year. In distribution, we have a tax rate that is higher than hydroelectric plants. Hydroelectric plants have some tax incentives and reduced tax rates. This is the main reason for that. Then, on slide 13, we have a word about indebtedness. We already mentioned that we are with plans to keep our liquidity high, which is important, but it's also very important for us to understand how we got to this crisis and how we can cope with COVID from now on. In the first quarter of 2020, we have a consolidated account of net debt-to-EBITDA ratio of 2x. It's very good to be at this point in time with this level of indebtedness, and the distributors that are going to be the most impacted in terms of liquidity, these are the ones that have the highest risk in terms of delinquency and market. We got to a position where the distributors have a leverage of 1.8x. We are in a very comfortable position to face the risks that are ahead of us. Of course, risks are always of concern. We have the legal regulatory area. We want to reinforce our liquidity, mitigate risks that distributors and the whole sector is facing, but we are, at this point, in a very comfortable position. Also to note in terms of maturity profile, we got to the end with 2.6 billion of the quarter. In the remainder of the year, we have 1.6 billion, and in 2021, 1.7 billion. We are working with our debt to see the impact of distributors. Of course, the debt market is going to be more expensive now, And the maturity profile is going to be shorter, just 1 year maturity, and that will have a weight in the refinancing for next year. And we understand that we are also going to have a regulatory agenda to help us with that. Well, with that, I'm closing the presentation, and I'm going to turn the call back to Miguel.
Thank you, Henrique. Well, just to close, I would like to give you a summary of what we understand being our priority focus for 2020. And our agenda basically works with the dimensions of our contingency plan. Again, we have the people and health area. Our focus will continue to be protecting people and ensuring that our workforce has the least impact of the pandemics. And in addition to that, reinforce mechanisms for the flexibility of work, most specifically through teleworking that we know is working today in many organizations, as well in EDP with high robustness, and our digital transformation plan allowed to that. We continue to work on digitalizing our processes, and with that, we are able to create work models that are more flexible, which for us is an important point in the resume of our work post-COVID to be more flexible. In cash protection, we are going to continue with our plans to contain or to reduce our costs, both by optimization, rationalizing our CapEx. We have more than 1.3 billion reais already projected to protect our cash, and we continue to work on a daily basis with controls and with business areas to find other leverages to optimize costs in the coming months. So that will continue. It's going to be a work that will continue further on. And we also have developed our funding plan, 820 million, as we mentioned, that are already planned, and eventually we can have other funding that will be included in our plans. Legal and regulatory, basically to work together with regulators and ministries to settle financial and economic situation of the sector, work on the sector's liquidity, but also start to work with regulators in terms of economic compensations that are expected for concessions on the day after COVID, in the post-COVID time. And eventually, we'll also work with them, if necessary, with some exclusions from responsibility that might be necessary for the future to have some kind of regulatory mitigation. But for now, these are basically work scenarios. In operations, I would like to tell you that we keep a rigorous focus on the operational performance of our assets with contingency and redundancy measures, and we are also going to work in the coming months in distribution to mitigate the risks of delinquency that are obviously ascending, and also take the due measures to mitigate any effects in the market decline for distributors. As for supply chain, the obvious highlight is to resume the transmission line work, the different lots and parts that are now on hold, and reinforce the resilience of our supply chain to ensure that we have alternatives and complements for the options that we have today in supplies to ensure that the company does not have any disruption in this chain. And finally, I would like to reassure our commitment to keep active communication with you, with the market, within a diligent, transparent rationale to ensure that all the stakeholders can follow the measures taken by the company and the consequences and results of such measures. All that said, I will close here. I wish you all a continuation of the fight against the pandemics. Keep safe and have a good day. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start the Q&A session. To ask a question, please press star one. To withdraw your question from the list, press star two. We would like to let you know that any questions asked in English are going to be answered by the company in Portuguese and simultaneously translated into English. Our first question comes from Marcelo Sá from Itaú.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the call. I have some questions. The first is regard to the 1.1 billion of cash preservation that you mentioned. I would like to understand how much is OpEx, how much is CapEx, how much is the suspension of dividends, and in OpEx, how much is a recurrent reduction? If you could give us a bit more color on that. Thank you.
Hello? Hi, Marcelo.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Marcelo. Thank you.
I'm Henrique. I can answer, Miguel, if you want. Well, you can complement to what I say. Very briefly, I just want to give you my initial remarks. Well, as you know, we've reduced our payout from 60 to 27, so you're talking about 250 million in dividends, a reduction based what we had forecasted and what was approved at our general shareholders meeting, so 250 million. Then 1.1 billion in CapEx. OpEx and M&A that we had expected to be invested in M&A project. In CapEx, we are talking about 30% of the CapEx that had been expected for the year of 2020. In OpEx today, we have a reduction so far of approximately 50 million-100 million reais that we are working with right now for some of these to be considered recurrent in the future because we are changing our business model and we are changing how the company operates. Right now, we are still working on the plans to reinforce this role of this list of measures to reduce costs.
Okay. It's very clear. Thank you very much. The other question I had about distribution. You show a chart when you're talking about the regulatory and company effect of contracting that is negative of 10 million reais. I would like to know if there is any COVID impact here. I don't think so because it's the first quarter, and if you're going to offset that somehow because this is a company cost.
Hi, Marcelo. There is a bit of a COVID effect here. In the end of the day, we only know in the end of the year how much you had of over, and then you have to calculate retroactively. Every quarter, you have to estimate what the market is going to be ahead of you. for you to know how much you're going to have in terms of over-contracting. So this is an exercise that you do on an ongoing basis. And obviously, as we are closing our accounts here, we cannot ignore that the market that we have ahead of us. So we are already projecting a market, a COVID market, so to speak, a market that is contracting. I mean, a market that is diminishing. In normal conditions, we wouldn't have this effect. I don't know if it's clear, but you do have this effect because it is a projection. You have to know how much you think you're going to have in the end of the year as over-contracting. So this is the exercise, and we are being very cautious with this line for us not to have any surprises further on because all the companies, you know, follow different methodologies, but this has been a methodology that we have always followed. And so there is an impact of COVID in the 10 million. Okay, I don't know if it's clear. Oh, yes, certainly. So if ANEEL confirms the understanding that we all expect that the over-contracting because of COVID is involuntary, theoretically, you would reverse. Yes, that's correct. That's correctly. Then we could reverse this amount further along. But right now, this is what we thought. This is not involuntary. It has not been considered involuntary yet. Okay, very clear. So I have a final question with regard to the change of methodology that you had in terms of bad debt. You use the same rate for regular and non-regular consumption, and now you have a different rate, and therefore for regulated consumption, you have a higher. So these are customers that sometimes, I don't know, have thefts of energy. What is irregular consumption or non-regular? These are movements of the sector. Sometimes you identify frauds, and they are part of the history. And you can invoice that retroactively. You have the regulatory norm that you can invoice retroactively up to 36 months. So this is irregular. You're going to invoice someone that had frauded the system or did not pay. Of course, this is not a universe of clients that is not quite expressive in the whole. But the bad debt is much higher. See, you detect a fraud and you're going to invoice the customers for the past 3 years. So basically, what we did is that we have a matrix here in which we separate these two lines to be able to reflect when you invoice a customer that is a regulated customer and an irregular customer, and they have success rates in terms of payments that are very different. So you have the two matrices side by side for you to be able to see the differences between them. And that somehow advances what may happen to us further ahead. When you adopt this measure the first year, you have a higher impact, and this is what we are suffering right now. But the initiative is that you have a much more trustworthy result that is much more compliant with what is actually working with payments. Okay, that's perfect. Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Carolina Carneiro from Credit Suisse. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the call. I have also two questions. The first is with regard to free distribution clients and the
the tariff, we see in this result that the consumption of these customers in the end of the month most probably had a bit more negative variation in the end of the quarter in March. Last week, ANEEL said that it might be discussed case on case or bilateral claims with distributors negotiating the tariff. Although today, the regulatory guarantees that it is the contracted volume and not the measured volume. I would like to know if you had any special requests from free clients in terms of time or change of calculation of the price of the tariff, if this is a request you have been receiving. This is the first question. Second question, in this take or pay scenario, we have 180 days for clients to reduce the contracted demand. If there is any movement or if we are still seeing the industry waiting to make decisions. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm going to start the answer, and then I'm going to turn to João Brito in the distribution area to make his comments.
Well, we have seen the ANEEL discussion on the topic. The main points of the regulatory model in Brazil is contract safety. For us right now, we believe it doesn't make change to change make sense to change the rules of the game in the middle of the game. If we have a rule that provides for the payment of whatever is contracted, there is no sense in changing this rule. We believe that the understanding of the agency is the same. Right now, we consider as the basis of our understanding that the contract commitments are going to be kept. Obviously, both in our distribution and trading companies, we are establishing an active dialogue with our clients to try and find solutions for us all to overcome this period as well as possible. We understand that in some segments there is a more accentuated market decline, and we understand that there might be needs, and we are understanding and negotiating some flexibility in contracts. There is a set of customers that are requesting payment agreements, and case on case, we are negotiating with each one of these industries or clients that do have the need. We have never questioned or considered challenging the contracts. We are thinking of renegotiating payment terms, and this is how we are working. There are some one-off situations, very unique, that are evolving to litigations. These are very specific cases in highly affected segments like shopping malls. I would say this is really accounts for a minimal portion of the customer portfolio of the company.
I would like to use the opportunity, and João, please join me if you want to make additional comments, but I think that's it.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Miguel. We had indeed some requests from clients, not many, to renegotiate demand. Very few cases of litigation, as was mentioned. Basically,
We have been asked to renegotiate the debts, and we are doing negotiations on a case-by-case basis, based on the history of the client and our relationship with them. We understand, as Miguel mentioned, that this is a topic that is still not clear in terms of regulation to change the collection of the contracted demand. This is something that ANEEL is going to decide on how distribution companies are going to operate. So by now, we keep our position, and this is what we have been negotiating with clients. But again, case by case, we have been negotiating payment terms. But once again, a very reduced number of cases. Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Gabriel Francisco from XP Investments.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the call. I have two questions. One is a follow-up. Well, the first, just adding to Carol's question, you could give us a bit more color in generation and free market and the distribution of your clients. Major categories and segments are in the free market, so I would like to understand a bit about that. And the second, when Marcelo asked about initiatives to reduce budget, the dividend portion is very clear, but CapEx, not that clear. Miguel did mention M&A, but there was a cutoff in the audio at that point and was not clear. So if you could, Miguel, please just talk about M&A specifically, just to be clear. And finally, distribution companies, how they are evolving in terms of delinquency, consolidated numbers. If it started with the profile that we have, usually, but it is now stable at a lower level. So what kind of behavior you have had for these indicators? And that's it. Thank you very much.
Good morning. This is Pedro Kubin. I am the officer of the commercialization company, the trading company. The customer portfolio is the extract of the commercial industrial Brazilian market, a very diversified portfolio. And we have approximately, in terms of end customers that could be strongly affected by the COVID crisis, approximately 35%-40% of our portfolio in the year of 2020. I would like to let you know that a significant part of our portfolio are businesses with other trading and generation companies. So the risks of renegotiation is mitigated because of the diversification of our portfolio, not only in terms of industrial activities, but also end activities, that is, trading and generation that are not feeling the impact of COVID as much as manufacturing clients. So I believe that we are in quite a risk mitigated position.
Francisco, just to add to what you asked about M&A, we have in the amount we were concluding an M&A process in the secondary market, and that was an operation that was a bit affected, and therefore it is among this amount that was put together. So this is what we have. With regard
to delinquency, I'm going to turn to João Brito, but this is an amount that we are monitoring from close. As I mentioned in other calls, delinquency is something that has a natural variability. This is not something that you can be quite precise with. You have to monitor a long time. Of course, we see the number with some degradation, but still, we believe it is early to get to a conclusion. João, I don't know if you would like to add to the answer.
Yes, this is an indicator, as you mentioned, that we monitor on a daily basis. In manufacturing, it was a month that was even slightly better than our expectations that we had thought it would be, and a bit higher than the normal situation, but better than what we expected we would have in terms of deterioration. However, we believe that in May, because of the confinement measures, lockdown measures, the stop of economic activity, we believe delinquency is going to have a bit higher impact. So again, for this quarter, higher than usual, but lower than expected.
Well, thank you very much, Henrique, Miguel, João.
Thank you, Francisco.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as a reminder, to ask a question, just press star one.
Our next question comes from Pedro Manfredini from Goldman Sachs.
Good morning, everyone, Miguel, Henrique, João. I have one question based on what you answered in previous questions. In addition to the collection rate, how have you perceived the evolution of volumes in low voltage specifically? Because we are monitoring data every 15 days, we see a significant drop, especially in the state of São Paulo, for low, but altogether, we don't know exactly what is the share of low and high voltage. So if you could give us a bit more color on that, I would appreciate it. And also, I would like to know how you see behaviors of collection rates and volumes of low voltage in the two different concessions. That is, what are the differences that you see in São Paulo and Espírito Santo, if there is any difference at all, especially in collection? And finally, a question that is more directed to Henrique is the rollout of debt. If it is, I know it's always in your radar, but if you're thinking of negotiating with banks for extending, I'm sorry, debt in the short term, and if you could break down in terms of rates presented by banks, just for us to try and understand where the market is today.
Well, in terms of defaults, João Brito probably will give you a bit more color, although I still think it is early to have high visibility on that numbers. João, please.
Well, with regard to volumes in low voltage, we had an increase in residential, most specifically in São Paulo, a drop in Espírito Santo. Last year in Espírito Santo, we had a very, very hot beginning of year. So if you compare year-on-year, there is a difference in terms of temperature. And then a strong drop in industrial and commercial sectors that do impact our numbers.
As for collection differences between the two concessions, they have quite close numbers. Perhaps São Paulo is slightly better. I'm sorry, Espírito Santo is slightly better than São Paulo, perhaps because confinement measures are more restrictive in São Paulo than in Espírito Santo, and therefore, perhaps Espírito Santo is slightly better. But in terms of collection, they are quite similar. And again, in terms of delinquency, not as the same as normal, but better than expected. As for extension of that, well, the market has changed extremely. We had funding of 200 million for Espírito Santo with a rate before COVID effect of 103.5% of the CDI. And now the reality, first, the maturity is much shorter, between 1 and 2 years. 2 years is almost considered long term today. It's very much concentrated in 1 year, to tell you the truth. The banks are being very, very cautious with all the dividends, and the spread is completely different. You see the issuance in secondary and primary markets. You're talking about a spread of CDI plus two, plus three, so the prices are completely different today. But in terms of extension, we advanced a bit of this movement. We started before the COVID situation being a reality in the market, and we were able then to have some issuances, as we showed in the presentation, in the part of Miguel when he was talking about the liquidity plan, and we got to 940 million. We have a series of actions to be listed that have to do with extension of debt, either direct extensions or to cover operations that are to mature this year. So we are in advanced phase of negotiation. This is what I can tell you. So the whole plan, I would say, is very much executed. This is something that we did quite fast. We did not wait for the situation to establish. So this is a market reality today, but I believe that the movement is going to be more advantageous to us. I hope I have answered your question.
Yes, thank you very much.
We are now closing the Q&A session. I'm going to turn the call back to our speakers for their final considerations.
Thank you very much. I was offline for a brief period of time because of a phone problem, but I would just like to end by telling you that the company naturally understands that this is a sensitive time. It has to do with the context we are experiencing, but we believe that the measures we took were very timely, based on our commitments with European shareholders and shareholders from everywhere in the world. We had very good information about the consequences of the pandemic, and we were very timely to prepare ourselves to the current time. So operationally speaking, the company has taken all measures, and we do not see any risks of operational discontinuity. In terms of cash, we have measures not only that are a financial measure for the company's cash, but also protective measures to protect our cash. Today, we are talking about more than 3 billion reais, thinking of our additional liquidity plan and the measures of 1.35 billion that we mentioned, coming from
OpEx, the 250 million of dividends. Therefore, the company was very cautious, and we believe that in terms of cash position, we are fully protected for the months to come. Of course, there is a legal framework that is very important. We didn't talk much about that, but during this call, while this call is going on, there are proposals being made to the regulator to optimize the COVID account, which again is to work with the liquidity of the whole of chain to prevent systemic risks for the sector. All that said, just to close, that we are convinced that the year is going to be challenging, but we are prepared to face the months to come with resilience, firmness, and stability. This is what we want, and this is how we are going to lead the company in the coming months to show resilient results and measures that are being taken that are proactive and that can offset the crisis. All that said, my best regards, and I wish you all well. ETP Energia do Brasil conference call for the earnings release of the first quarter 2020 is now closed. We thank you very much. Any questions that were received by webcast are going to be answered later by the IR team of the company. We thank you very much for your attendance and wish a good day. Thank you very much.